I come from a place where cattle and growing animals was a daily business. That's how my father made a living, and the family of my father used to make a living. And so for us, growing animals was a common thing. And also, it's a region, at least in that part of the country, where people eat meat every day, two or three times a day. So that's my background. So you will wake up in the morning and have a nice beef soup in the morning instead of cereal. You know, cereal wasn't present in our families. And then for lunch, you will have a nice steak. And for dinner, well, more soup or more steak or whatever. That's how these people live in there. So meat is pretty much a part of the life. They don't eat vegetables because they don't grow in their vegetables. It's only grass. The land is really poor, and the only you get is like this sandy kind of like ground. And I remember one particular occasion near Christmas when families get together and they prepare a special meal. And my dad had this female lamb that he wanted to sacrifice. And I was around 18 years old at the time. And he said to me, "Tomorrow I need you to come back home like around 4 o'clock in the morning. We need to sacrifice the lamb in order to provide the meal for Christmas." And I always was a little hesitant to do that because I'm not into killing animals. And it made me uneasy. But my dad was spoken and I need to obey. So I remember going really early in the morning. It was a little cold and beautiful morning. And he told me, "Go grab the lamb from the place that we have the sheep." So I knew what the lamb that he was me to grab, and I go and tied it up with a piece of rope and bring it to him. And he started explaining to me, like in kind of like a ritual passage, how we do that. How do you sacrifice a lamb? The first thing that he explained to me is we need to tie her up. So he showed me how to tie her up. And after we tie her really hard, between him and me, we lift the lamb and put it in a table right there in our backyard. Nobody was present, only my dad and me. And I remember looking this animal and feeling really sorry for what I was planning to commit. I remember my dad taking the knife, and he explained to me the knife need to be really sharp, because if it's not sharp, we will make this animal suffer. And we don't want that. We want a clean and fast death. So he sharpened the knife one more time. And then later he positioned in front of the lamb. And with his fingers, he started looking for the artery that crosses around the neck. And he finally located the artery. And he said to me, "Here, you can feel it. It's the artery for this animal. And when you touch it, you feel the blood moving." And the animal was scared. He was afraid. And then my dad say, "This is how you get the knife. You put the sharp edge in top of the artery right there. And when one blow, you need to perforate the artery and cut the neck of the animal." And he say, "You need to hold the animal because the animal will move. They don't want to die. Like we don't want to die." So that's what I did. I hold the sheep and my dad with the knife pointed in the artery. And when one swift and clean blood, he cut the artery. And the blood coming out, it started gushing out, red and thick. And I remember the sheep moving, desperate, because I presumed that she was feeling that she was dying. And continued moving and moving. But it didn't make sounds. And the thing that I remember the most for that morning with my dad is that the sheep started crying. Tears were coming out of her eyes. And it kind of surprised me because I never really understood, do animals have feelings? But at least this one was crying. And I remember that very vividly in my memory. After the animal finally died, he continued explaining me the process and how to prepare the meat and everything. Later, we were surprised to find out that she was a pregnant sheep, and we didn't know. And he felt sorry. because now instead of healing one, he killed two. Dear brothers and sisters, the Bible instructs us in what God explained to Israel about the Passover. They should take an animal, sacrifice this animal, and eat it in one night. Instead of eating like in a happy banquet and festivity, they eat it with bitter herbs because they were sad and they were rushing out of Egypt. And this become a symbol for the whole nation. You need to remember this festivity and celebrate it always, because this is the sign that I'm taking you out of Egypt. Now I want you to go back with me and open your Bibles, please. Open your Bibles in the book of John in chapter 13. John 13 describes what happened during the last opportunity that Jesus spent with his disciples. During his ministry, one of the most common fights among the disciples was, who is the most important person here? Who is the biggest guy? Who is the one who required Jesus first place? They always, you know, fight about that. And Jesus decided to teach a final lesson, knowing that his moments were getting close on earth. He said, or he planned to do a lesson that they will remember forever. And the Bible instructs us and teaches here in John 13 this. Open and read with me in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from his world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come down from God, and he was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself, and after that he washed the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel, which was girdled. And that was something amazing for everybody at that moment. I just want you to picture and imagine that situation. They were preparing to eat, having a good time, and without any explanations, the Lord stand up, take his clothes, and stay in his underwear, like a slave, because that's how slaves used to dress. Put a towel around his body to cover his undergarments, and grab some water, and start doing something that only a slave will make, that is washing other people's feet. In places where it's dust and rock and all kind of things in the roads, people get their feet quiet and clean. I would say a little nasty. But the Lord didn't think about that, and he started doing that. When you continue reading the story, you will find several elements that, to me, they are important. Today we find in our church people who will argue, why I need to touch somebody's feet? That God knows only where they were before. Why? Have you heard somebody like that? I don't like to wash other people's feet. And it's always an answer for that. If you please kindly read with me verse 13, and you will have your answer here. What the Bible tells us here is, you call me what? Teacher and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. If in then your Lord and teacher had washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's a clean and easy answer, right? Who did it? Our God. And he instructs us really clearly that if he did it, being God, being the master, our servants, we, his followers, we should do the same. What is the foot washing tissue? Well, it's more than an act of cleanliness for us today. What foot washing really represents or tries to convey is that we need to humble ourselves to the point to being servants, to being able to help others. Because Jesus called us all to be servants. That's correct, right? What other word we can use today for servant? Think about one. How about slaves? We don't like that one, right? We want my rights, my principles. I want to do what I want. Nobody can tell me what to do. But if you are a follower of Jesus and you call him Master and God, then you are considering yourself a slave. And I will tell you today that the Bible presents this in a very clear way. You can choose to be under the power of grace and love in Jesus, or you can choose to work under the power of sin and serve this world and Satan. There is no more options than that. And I assume, because you are here, that you want to serve God and Jesus. Amen? What are the lessons that I get from John 13? Number one, in the same way that God commanded Passover in Egypt as a remembrance of how they took his nation from Egypt, communion reminds us that we are now walking away from sin. God is delivering you from sin. And probably you have heard this before. When you do food washing, when you participate in communion, you are just renewing your vows with God. It's like you are taking another baptism in your life. And you remember that day when you were baptized? How exciting that was. How happy that was. You probably remember your friends and your family there. Some of you even probably remember the songs that they sing for you that day. Or maybe something special that happened that day. I remember my baptism. It happened in this kind of like yellow waterish river. Not much interesting to get in there and swim, but that's the only body of water that we have nearby. And it was an exciting and happy moment when I gave my life to Jesus. It is exciting. It's a new life. It's a new beginning. So today, I want you to remember that God is trying to deliver you from sin, because we all are still committing sins. And that's our nature. We have this fight among us, inside us. The second aspect of the communion service is that God was clear that nothing with yeast or fermented should be present during communion, right, during the Passover. So people argue with you, oh, how do you know that Jesus didn't drink real wine, you know, instead of the juice that you present here at church? Well, it's simple, because the Jewish people during Passover, they didn't drink anything that it was fermented. That was part of the covenant, of the ceremony itself. So they drink only fresh juice. The bread wasn't without yeast. So it was hard and a little flat. And the house was clean. They make an extra effort to clean everything. So nothing was there to bring impurities into this special ceremony. So today, following the same tradition, we use two elements that Jesus established. One is the bread, and one is the wine, the juice, grape juice, symbol of his blood, and the bread, symbol of his body. They are symbols. We don't pretend that we had powers to change the bread and the wine into something else. After you eat it and drink it, they will continue being bread and wine. But their meaning is really powerful. What they mean is a memorial to you and to me that our God died on a cross and gave his body and his blood for the redemption of you and my redemption. And that is amazing. Now, another lesson that I want you to keep in mind is that not all the people who participate in the communion service was clean. And you can ask, how that happened? Didn't Jesus wash everybody's feet? Yes, he did. Jesus washed all the 12 disciples' feet. However, an external act cannot clean your internal life. Judas was there, and he was decided to sell Jesus and treasure his best friends. He didn't care. In fact, when you read the gospel, you find that Jesus was making a last attempt to reach this man's heart and see if he would change in the last minute and stop doing his evil act. And he didn't do it. In our lingo today, you know, young people here present, he didn't care. You know, I had kids in my house and you ask him, do this for me? I don't care. You know, have you heard these words before? I don't care. You know, it's not a body for me. That was Judas' attitude. And the Lord lovingly and patiently and kindly reaching for his arm. Come back to me. Come back to me. It's a repetition of Ezekiel 18 when God is calling the sinners. You know, I don't want the death of the sinner. I want everybody to have an opportunity to live. But we made our decisions. We made our choices. So it is possible that today you can participate of the communion service and apparently be clean from outside. But remember, God can see you, really who you are. And the cleansing that we are looking here is not exterior cleansing. It's the interior cleansing that we need. And this is a symbol that is really powerful. In Corinthians 13, Paul makes an admonition to the members of the church to take this ceremony really seriously. He said, among you had many that had been sick and some had died. And the reason is because you are abusing the communion, the supper, the service. So don't take this lightly. Take it seriously. It is a serious ceremony, but we should be joyful. Right? It doesn't have to be sad. We can be happy because we know that we have a Redeemer, we have a God, but in the same sense, be responsible and serious. Everyone had to make your own decisions, pray to God, and make your own amendment. Another aspect of the Last Supper in John 13 that is interesting to me is that we claim that we follow Jesus. And you hear people, yes, I will do what Jesus tells me. And I love Jesus. But then when the gospel speaks to you in a clearly way, then I know, I don't want to do that. I want to be me. This ceremony is for us. It's for you and it's for me. Because we need it. He gave us an example and he explained us how to do it. The apostles repeated, what I learned, I'm telling you. And this is what I'm doing today. What I learned from others to teach me, I'm telling you. It's a tradition that we are passing to each other. And it's important that we keep alive in our churches. The servant is no bigger than the master, right? You know your place and I know my place. And I know my God too. And we have an amazing and wondrous God. And he cared for you. This God was willing to do the unthinkable. Not like a human being, but even lower, like a slave, to do service, to cleanse you and to help you. So meanwhile we prepare for the food washing and for the second part of the service, I would like to encourage you to participate in the communion today. Don't look at your life. Because a lot of people think about this. You know, I'm a sinner, I'm a terrible person. I shouldn't do this. Don't think that way. What you need to think is God had power to forgive you. And he had promised that he will forgive us. Amen? Claim to that. Believe in that. Trust in that. And he will forgive you. Be valiant and take a step closer. Be courageous and do this. In the name of God. But finally, I have to say that as you call, you are free to do whatever you want. And I'm saying this in a very respectful way to everybody here. Sadly, I notice in many of my churches, a lot of people don't participate in communion. I won't bother you. You have your own reasons. And I will respect that. But my job as a pastor is encourage you to participate because I know it will do good to you. To your soul. You know, this is an open ceremony and everybody is welcome to participate. Now you need to review your heart and make your amendments. That's another thing, right? As I told you. But God is inviting us to get close here and as the brothers and sisters participate in this. Today we have two special rooms. In my right hand, your left here in this section, the gentleman will be doing the food washing. And in the fellowship hall, in the back of the church, the ladies will have their own ceremony for the food washing. If you rather stay here at church, you can do it. You can continue doing here and reading the Bible. But again, I encourage you to participate and go there. Even if you don't do your food washing, you can be there singing and praying with everybody. But if you want to be here sitting alone, also understand that part too. Today we want to make some small changes that I need to explain to you. The deacons will be serving you. So we need at least one pew empty between each other so that they can walk in front of you and give you the bread. So when you come back, remember to leave one empty pew in front of you so they can serve you easily. Number two, when the deacons go back with the bread and the wine, we will ask you to please stand so they know who is participating and they will serve you. After you get your bread and your wine, we'll ask you to please keep it in hand. Don't eat it right there. Don't drink it right now. We will give you instructions when we will partake it together. And after you eat it or drink it, we want you to please keep in a prayerful and meditation position until we will continue with the ceremony. I think God had a great blessing today for you and for me. Amen? And we together can enjoy this beautiful ceremony. Let's have a last prayer before we go to our food washing. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Jesus did at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for his body and his blood that made possible for us human beings to obtain salvation. Lord, thank you for being such a great example, for being such a humble person, for doing the things that you did for us, O Lord. We didn't deserve it, but you love us and give us everything. So today, O God, we ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us, to help us to partake of this communion service in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.